This message comes to you from Community Worship Center, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is our prayer that this word brings guidance, strengthens relationships, inspires outreach, and draws you deeper into worship. At Community Worship Center, our motto is, "Let's grow together." May this message encourage your spirit and ignite your faith.
The Word of God says, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb, how many days? 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord at this time as we consider for the next few moments the message entitled Divine Delay. Divine Delay. Bow your heads with me now. Father, speak to our hearts now like only you can. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let every lover of the risen Christ say amen, amen, and amen. Divine Delay. There is an epidemic in this world today. But brothers and sisters, it's not the type of epidemic you're thinking of. And if I'm honest with you today, I'm guilty of falling into the trap of this epidemic. The epidemic I'm talking about is impatience. We have an impatience epidemic in this world today. Just a few years ago on Fox News, the story was reported. This is a true story. I watched the video. I had to look it up when I saw it to make sure, is this real? But just a couple years ago on Fox News, the story was reported of a mother who took her son to a barber shop, to a barber school, to get a $6 haircut. The barbers there were students who were learning how to become professional barbers. But the mother became frustrated and angry because she felt that the barber in training was taking too long to cut her son's hair. That, and I'm not making this up, she literally pulled a gun out of her purse. She pulled a gun out on the barber and told him to hurry up and finish his haircut, all because she was impatient. I'll say it again. We're living in a world, she did 6 months for that too. We're living in a world where there is an impatience epidemic. This epidemic refers to the widespread rise. This epidemic refers to the widespread rise of impatience in society, driven largely by modern technology and the culture of instant gratification. The phenomenon describes how our reliance on instant information, instant products, and services has conditioned us to expect everything immediately, causing disproportionate frustration and anxiety when delays inevitably occur. Some of the causes of this impatience epidemic is first and foremost constant digital access. Smartphones, online shopping, streaming services, and search engines have created an expectation of immediate results. When a web page takes more than a few seconds to load, or an email isn't answered promptly, it triggers irritation. Another cause is the pursuit of convenience. This consumer-driven culture with on-demand services have normalized bypassing traditional pathways that require time and effort. There's also the intolerance of uncertainty. You see, technology can create a false sense of certainty and control, causing anxiety when outcomes are unknown or delayed. A person who doesn't get an immediate response from a loved one may check their location instead of waiting, which only increases worry. And another cause is digital distractions. The constant stream of information and notifications from devices make it difficult to focus. This reduces our ability to tolerate slower-paced, less stimulating activities and to remain present in the moment. We have heard, brothers and sisters, that patience is a virtue, but it is something that is in short supply in this world that we live in today. Because we are living through an impatience epidemic, and most, if not all of us, are infected. And most, if not all of us in the church, find ourselves from time to time frustrated and discouraged, agitated, even angry sometimes, because along this Christian journey as believers, one of the things you learn very easy, one of the things you learn very early is that God moves, God works on his own time. And if we're honest with ourselves today, most of us oftentimes feel like in our very own personal lives that God is behind schedule. We love the song lyrics, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time, but not when we're the ones wondering when is he ever going to show up. And sometimes it's not just that he hasn't showed up, but sometimes it seems like he is the one holding things up. And you're dealing with a divine delay. And that's what we find in our text today. Mary and Martha are dealing with a divine delay. Understand, brothers and sisters, Jesus could have shown up earlier. And sometimes that's the struggle with divine delays, because deep down inside each of us, we know he could have shown up earlier. He could have moved earlier. My change could have happened earlier. The deliverance, the healing, the breakthrough could have happened earlier. But understand today that the reason why we sometimes experience divine delay is because, as one speaker said, part of why we wait is because God doesn't want to just fix your problems, but he wants to transform you in the process. and understand today that God is trying to save us, not just supply us with everything that we want or desire. And so in this text, we see another example of divine delay. But not only do we see that example, but we also get a glimpse into better understanding the delays. You see, our divine delays are all centered around God's prerogative, God's purpose, and God's power. You see, when we look at this divine delay, the first thing we recognize is God's prerogative. You see, right here in this text in John chapter 11, verse 1 to 5, the word says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Understand, the Bible is very clear. Jesus loved this family. He loved Mary, he loved Martha, and he loved Lazarus. As a matter of fact, when the sisters sent word to Jesus to let him know of Lazarus' sickness, they just sent word that the one thou lovest is sick. One writer says, at the house of Lazarus, Jesus had often found rest. The Savior had no home of his own. He was dependent on the hospitality of his friends and disciples. And often, when weary, thirsting for human fellowship, he had been glad to escape to this peaceful household, away from the suspicion and jealousy of the angry Pharisees. Here it says, he found a sincere welcome and pure holy friendship. Here he could speak with simplicity and perfect freedom, knowing that his words would be understood and treasured. Christ loved this family, but his love did not prevent Lazarus from getting sick. He still ended up dying because when Jesus heard the news of his sickness, he deliberately chose to stay away, stay where he was for two more days. As a result, Lazarus' sisters still had to suffer and mourn. They still had to cry as they seemingly reached out to Jesus. And for those four whole days, it seemed like he was nowhere to be found. They had to experience all of this simply because it was God's prerogative. This was how he decided to handle this situation, this experience in the life of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, people whom he dearly loved. And it's because even though God loves us, yet his love, brothers and sisters, is not always a pampering love, but more than anything, it is a perfecting love. In other words, just because of the fact that he loves us and we love him is no guarantee that we will be sheltered from all of the problems and pains of this life. And that's all because it's his prerogative. In other words, in God's infinite wisdom, this is how he has decided to operate within the realm and sphere of the human experience, but this ought not catch any of us by surprise. Because after all, the Father loved his Son, Jesus, and yet the Father still permitted his beloved Son to drink the cup of sorrow and experience the shame and pain of the cross. I'll say it again, God's love is not always a pampering love, but more than anything, it is a perfecting love. That word perfecting means to make something completely free from faults or defects or as close to such a condition as possible. You see, here in our text, God had some perfecting work to do on those whom he loved. And understand today that sometimes when you're going through and it doesn't seem to make sense why you can't seem to figure it out, it might just be God perfecting you because he loves you. This is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, and not only this, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I know you're wondering why the delay when you're sick and can't seem to get well, but maybe that sickness is perfecting you. I know you wonder why the delay when you've lost your job, but maybe losing that job is what God is using to perfect you. I know you wonder why the delay when you're having financial issues, problems in your home, but maybe God is using it to perfect you, to cleanse out the faults and defects in our lives. You see, here in this text, Mary and Martha had some defects. As a matter of fact, one of their defects was that their faith was limited. It's like many of us. It's not that we don't have any faith. It's just our faith is limited. They both told Jesus, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Their faith had them believing that God was powerful, but his power was limited to his proximity. In other words, for Christ to use his powers, for Christ to make the difference, for Christ to be the answer, he had to be right there. He had to be on location. Jesus said to Martha, thy brother shall rise again, but her faith was only limited enough to believe that he could be raised again at the second coming, but she did not believe he could be raised right now. God knew that their faith was imperfect, so in order to perfect their faith, he allowed this circumstance to arise where Lazarus fell sick and died. In the book of Desire of Ages, it says, had Christ been in the sick room, Lazarus would not have died, for Satan would have no power over him. Death could not have aimed his darts at Lazarus in the presence of the life giver. Therefore, Christ remained away. He suffered the enemy to exercise his power that he might drive him back, a conquered foe. He permitted Lazarus to pass under the dominion of death, and the suffering sisters saw their brother laid in the grave. Christ knew that as they looked on the dead face of their brother, their faith in their Redeemer would be severely tried, but he also knew that because of the struggle through which they were now passing, their faith would shine forth with greater power. He suffered every pang of sorrow that they endured. He loved them no less because he tarried, but he knew that for them, for Lazarus, for himself, and for his disciples, a victory was to be gained. Understand today that God knew that because of the struggle through which they were now passing through, that their faith would shine forth with greater power. And I'm so glad that within God's prerogative, that every now and then, he will allow some divine delays to take place in my life, not because he's trying to destroy me, but because he's trying to deliver me, not because he's trying to harm me, but because he's trying to heal me, not because he's trying to ground me, but because he's trying to grow me, not because he's trying to punish me, but because he's trying to perfect me, not because he's trying to terrorize me, but because he is trying to teach me. And so I thank God for his divine, for God's prerogative. But what we also find here, when we get a clear understanding of divine delays, is not only do we see God's prerogative, but then secondly, we see God's purpose. Verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto what? But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Brothers and sisters, understand that sometimes it's just simply all for his glory. Yeah, you see, the Apostle John was very specific in selecting which stories and which miracles he included in his gospel. As a matter of fact, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 tells us exactly why he wrote this gospel and why each specific story or miracle is included. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through him. John said, this book, this gospel is all about showing the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Many other things happen, but these were specifically chosen to help us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When you understand this point, then it's understandable why John includes the story of Lazarus being raised from the grave, and it's understandable that when Jesus heard the news that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm allowing this to happen. My purpose for this is because I'm enlarging the faith of Mary and Martha, and I want all of them to know that I am the Son of God. In other words, this sickness has nothing to do with you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. The purpose of it all is for the glory of God, so that others may believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Don't miss that. Lazarus dying had nothing to do with Lazarus. It wasn't because Lazarus had lived a bad, sinful life. It wasn't because Lazarus was old and gray. It wasn't because Lazarus was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It wasn't because Lazarus didn't eat right and didn't take care of his body, and now it caught up with him. It wasn't because Lazarus was being punished for something he did in the past. No, this was all for the glory of God. In other words, there are some things that you go through in life. There are some challenges and obstacles that come our way. Sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes we may feel falsely accused, but no matter what it is, the reality today is that sometimes, even when we can't see it, even when we don't understand the delay and why, hasn't God showed up yet? Yet and still is all for the glory of God. God is using your delay. He is using your crisis. He is using your storm as a witness to others around you and as a tool to grow you. That's why it was all. That's what it was all about in our text. Jesus is sending a message that he is the Son of God to his disciples, to Mary and Martha, and the Jews. This is why in the text, after Jesus found out that Lazarus was sick, yet he stayed there in the same place for two more days. This is why he waited until Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days before he showed up, because it was all for the glory of God. You see, one writer says that Lazarus had been laid in a cave in a rock, and a massive stone had been placed before the entrance. "Take ye away the stone," Christ said, thinking that he only wanted to look upon the dead. Martha objected, saying that the body had been buried 4 days and corruption had already begun its work. This statement made before the raising of Lazarus left no room for Christ's enemies to say that a deception had been practiced. You see, in the past, the Pharisees had circulated false statements regarding the most wonderful manifestation of the power of God. You see, when Christ raised to life the daughter of Jairus, he had said, "The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." As she had been sick only a short time and was raised immediately after death, the Pharisees declared that the child had not really died and that Christ himself had said she was only asleep. They had tried to make it appear that Christ could not cure disease or raise the dead, that there was foul play about his miracles. But in this case, none could deny that Lazarus was dead. It's all for his glory. It was through this miracle that many others believed in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, this miracle had such a profound impact that John chapter 12, verse 10 and 11 says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. When we understand it from this aspect, while it does not make the circumstances or experience less painful in the moment, in the season, yet our perspective begins to shift when we understand that the delay is not for my destruction, but for my development, because there is a divine purpose for it all. God is using it for his glory as he's growing me, as he's healing me, and as others all around are beginning to believe that he is the Son of God. And let me just say this, because I don't know how you feel about it, but one thing I've learned is that God deserves all of the glory. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever accomplished is because of him. The mere fact that we woke up this morning and we're started on our way is because of him. The fact that after all that we've gone through, yet we're still in our right minds is because of him. The fact that in spite of it all, we don't look like what we've been through is because of him. The fact that after we lost it all, we're still going strong is because of him. The fact that after the doctor thought we didn't have much time left, yet we're still here is because of him. The fact that the dysfunction that we grew up in has not derailed us is because of him. The fact that all of our wounds haven't stolen our worship is because of him. I tell you, he deserves all of the glory and all of the praise, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. But not only when we begin to understand divine delays, not only do we see God's prerogative and God's purpose, but then lastly, we see the real manifestation of God's power. Verse 21 to 25 says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Understand that the Bible describes death as an enemy. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, one of the most powerful ways to show that he is the Son of God is by demonstrating the fact that he has power over life and death. But he would not be able to display the power, this power, if Lazarus does not die. And the only way for Lazarus to die is that he had to remain behind for two more days. And at the point is this, sometimes the greater the delay, the greater the display of his power. The greater the revelation, the greater the manifestation. The only way to display his resurrection power is that Lazarus had to die. And the reason why we find this story in this Gospel of John, the reason why Jesus allowed Lazarus to die is because it was all for his glory, to show everyone that he is the Son of God. Because understand, there were a lot of people there who did not believe in him. Even some of the very ones who wanted to kill him were right there in the crowd. This is why he allowed Lazarus to stay in the grave for 4 days until he arrived. That way it would be no doubt in anyone's mind whether or not Lazarus was really dead or whether or not he really raised him up. There could be no doubt whether or not that this man Jesus was indeed the Son of God. This is what it was all about. He wanted his disciples, Mary and Martha, and all of the Jews there to know that he was indeed the Son of God. And he proved it by displaying his power over death. And watch this now. In his discourse with Martha, Jesus tells her that thy brother shall rise again. Martha responds, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day, indicating that Martha understood the fact that the righteous dead would live again one day. But in order to get Martha and all the rest to understand who he truly was, the fact that he is the Son of God, Jesus says unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What Jesus is saying to Martha is that while you're looking for a future time, a future day, a future event to take place, while you're looking for a future resurrection to take place, which one day will take place, but understand, Martha, that right here in your very presence is the resurrection and the life. In other words, it's not just about what can take place or what I can do, but understand today that it is who I am because I am God. I'm not just able to resurrect somebody at that day, but I am the resurrection. I am the life. The reason there can be a resurrection is because it is who I am. As a matter of fact, if you believe in me, you will live even if you die. As a matter of fact, he says, whosoever liveth in me and believeth in me shall never die. Somebody's saying that makes no sense, because believers die all the time. But understand today that when you die in Christ, the Bible calls it a sleep, where you are resting in Jesus. And one day soon and very soon, all those believers who are resting in him, he is going to wake up. So he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, it's not just something that I can do in the future, but it is who I am. And is there anybody here who's glad that Jesus has that kind of power, that he is the resurrection and the life? Because understand today that I just believe that there are some folk right here who need to be resurrected. Oh, you may not be physically dead, but maybe you're spiritually dead. Maybe you're emotionally dead. You've been hurt time and time again. Maybe you're mentally dead. Psychologically, you're dead. You've never recovered from some traumatic experience in your life. Maybe financially you're dead, broke with no money in your pocket, and no job, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. Maybe your marriage is dead. You're tired, feeling like you have nothing left to give, no longer trying to make it work. You're in need of a resurrection, and you're wondering, when is your change going to come? Well, I've got good news for you. Your delay does not mean denied. And Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And not only can he resurrect the physically dead, but he can resurrect every area of your life. If you let him, he can resurrect you spiritually. He can resurrect you emotionally. He can give you new life. He can resurrect you mentally, psychologically. He can resurrect your finances. He can resurrect your marriage, make you feel like you're on your honeymoon all over again. He can resurrect your business. He can resurrect your education. He can resurrect your career. He can resurrect your family. He can resurrect your health. He can resurrect your dating life. He can resurrect you after the divorce. He can resurrect your prayer life. He can resurrect your devotional life. He can resurrect your witnessing. He can resurrect your ministry. He can resurrect your stewardship. He can give life to your situation. No matter what it is, he can handle it. He can work it out. He can make a difference in your life. He is the resurrection, and he is the life. He's got resurrection power. And I can tell you why he's got resurrection power. It's because he knows what it's like to be dead and yet live again. On Friday, he was beaten. On Friday, he was spit upon. On Friday, he was scorned. On Friday, he was mistreated. On Friday, he was condemned. On Friday, he was all alone. On Friday, he was hung between two thieves. On Friday, he was nailed to the cross. On Friday, he hung, bled, and died. On Friday, he was laid in a borrowed tomb. On Friday, he looked like he lost. On Friday, he looked defeated. All because on Friday, he was divinely delayed. Because then came Sunday. And what seemed like delay, what seemed like denial, was only destiny, because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And I'm so glad that he got up. It's because he got up that he's got resurrection power. So rise up today, in spite of your delays. Rise up in spite of your setbacks. Rise up in spite of your losses. Rise up in spite of your scars. Rise up in spite of your enemies. Rise up in spite of your strongholds. Rise up in spite of your addictions. Rise up in spite of your immigration. Rise up in spite of ICE. Rise up in spite of your finances. Rise up in spite of your broken home. Rise up in spite of your childhood trauma. Rise up in spite of your past. I said, rise up. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling. I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into a daybreak that's wondrously clear.
arise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream, and I am the hope of the slave. Arise, arise, arise. I wish I had some folk here who would rise up right now, because in spite of what you're going through, God's got resurrection power, and you will rise in spite of it all. You will rise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah in this place. No matter what's dead in your life, God's got a resurrection power. Who believes that today? And I'm so thankful that there's going to be a future resurrection one day, when all of God's children who have died in Him are going to be raised at the sound of that trumpet. But I'm equally glad that He can resurrect some things right now. And understand, when you're experiencing divine delay, it's really God's prerogative. And it's not that He's trying to hurt us, but this is how He has decided to operate in the sphere of humanity, all because He's trying to perfect us. He's trying to grow us. Remember, it's all for His glory. It's about His purposes. And it's all because not only is He trying to grow us, but He's trying to save others around us as they see how He has operated in our lives. And lastly, even while in the moment, the pain does not always feel good, but the beauty in divine delays is that sometimes it's because of the delay that we see our greatest displays of God's power and glory. There could be no resurrection without Lazarus first dying. Are you with me? And so maybe you're experiencing divine delay right now, but God is not through with you. How many of you believe that today? And so maybe there's that soul here today. Maybe there's that soul here online. There's a link in the chat. But after everything you've experienced today, and then this word finally touched your heart, and the reason you're here today, you didn't think you were coming to church, but you're fed up, wondering when will your change come. You've been divinely delayed because God has brought you to this moment, where God is trying to save you. He's trying to heal you. He's trying to restore, trying to make you whole. You're in this place. You're online watching, tuning in. Now is your time to make your calling and election. Sure, the hours late, we're not gonna hold this appeal long. But whoever that soul is in this place who wants to say yes to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right now. We have a card for you. I see a hand in the balcony. God bless you. I see two hands in the balcony. God bless you. Thank you. We have elders up there. God bless you. Is there a hand on this lower level? If you're online, there's a link in the chat. Click on that link right now. Brothers and sisters, this pool is staying up. We got another baptism coming. You can be prepared. Whoever you are. Maybe you're already in the church, but you just want to say, I want to make this my church home. This is where I feel like I'm growing. Maybe you can come in week after week. You can make it official today. Just raise your hand, fill out that card. You can select where it says, I want to bring my membership here. Whoever you are, there's room for you at the cross, and there's room for you here. Just raise your hand nice and high. We're not going to hold this appeal much longer. But I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I can't promise you'll have another opportunity to give your life to him. The only thing I can promise is that you have right now. Why don't you make your calling and election sure, whoever you are, to raise that hand nice and high. Raise it nice and high. Raise it nice and high. We're going to get ready to pray now. But there's still time to raise that hand if you want to say yes. We'll make this last call for that soul. Raise it nice and high. Elder Hanfield, I see you there in the balcony. Stay with those individuals until you get the cards back. But we're going to pray now. Last call. Sister Jack, begin to make your way down front. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you for reminding us about delays. And sometimes they're divinely ordered. All because, God, you're trying to perfect us. You're trying to save us. God, we thank you for being a great and awesome God. I thank you for those who have made decisions for you on this day to give your life to give their life to you. Father, I pray for those two hands that have gone up. I pray for those who may be making decisions online. I pray that you help them to realize and know that this is the greatest decision to ever make in life. May we be a church, God, that loves and nurtures them as they start this journey with you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, and the church said amen.